Harmony Bookshop opened its doors on Varanasi's Asigat in December 1996, and ever since it has grown into a cultural hub, bringing together scholars, artists, researchers, all other book-loving travelers from India and abroad. This is a bookshop like no other. To enter, you must first remove your shoes. After all, books are sacred, and in this small bookshop, many of them are resting on the floor, and its owner and bookseller, Rakesh, would not like to see them damaged. Rakesh has built an incredible collection spanning a diverse range of books on India and other subjects. Academic texts by Indologists and social scientists, books on spirituality and yoga, sumptuous art books, many of them on photography, literary fiction, and much, much more. Harmony sits right next to the river, and during monsoon season, Rakesh builds a wall, an actual wall, to protect his fortune, the 20,000 or so books that he has gathered in his bookshop so far. So, if you're planning to visit Harmony and Varanasi, think about the monsoon season first, because the bookshop might be closed. Now, this bookshop was recommended to me by a previous guest on this podcast, Gesine, from About Bookshop in Berlin. And she recommended it with so much enthusiasm that I just knew it was going to be a good conversation. And I really think it was. So now, I'd like to take you to Varanasi for about an hour or so. Hello, Rakesh. Welcome to Got Books. Thank you so much for being with me today. I thought we could start, if you're okay with it, with a tour of your bookshop of Harmony. If you could just walk us through it so we can imagine it as we're having this conversation, perhaps we can feel that we're actually there.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice to give the virtual tour. So my shop is situated very close to the river, only 50 meters. I mean, my shop and the river's distance, River Ganga. There's a beautiful wooden door, which is my favorite. It used to be a glass door, but I remove the glass door and make it the wooden door. And as soon as you will enter through the door, you will hear first seeing the Indian classical music and the fragrance. The order might differ from person to person, but it will be both are there. And most important that you have to remove your shoes or slippers on the steps. You can't go with it inside the bookstore. My idea is that it makes more cleaner space, more homely atmosphere, and most of the lot of books on the floor also. So often if you go with the shoes, edges of the shoes might hit the books on the floor. It will damage it. So my shop might, through the shoes, it might become a secondhand after a while. So you have to remove the shoes. And then you will enter the bookstore. When you come in, that's the front shelf is the new arrivals. New arrivals plus, it's like a collage of lot of subjects in one place. New, mostly new. On the right side, mostly the art books. On the left is fiction and humanities. There's a 400 square feet space. And lot of books is on the floor as well. So books and the shelf and the floor go accordingly. Suppose the shelf is a fiction. So on the floor, there's a lot of books, spine facing up. And then you can come fiction. I can tell you the subjects which I keep. First will be fiction. Then will be science, popular science. Humanities, gender studies, economics, biography, movies and theater, Islam, Indian classical music, Buddhism, Hinduism, Sanskrit, Western philosophy, Indian philosophy, health, spiritual and new spiritual books and self-help books I keep together. Mm-hmm. I think both goes accordingly because both teach somehow how to live good, better life and decision making. So I don't separate self-help books and spiritual books in the same shelf. Was not big selection, maybe 100 or 200 books. Art, photography is my one of favorite thing. Art books is my favorite. So I have a lot of photography books, textile art, modern art. So it's a big selection, diverse subject.
That I guess to a certain extent reflects also the diversity of where you are in the world, no?
Diversity of the city attracts the diversities. And I think that's reflected in the selection. because city attracts a lot of scholars, painters, of course, because Riverside and River Strait is 7 kilometers long, where the city and the river goes. So a lot of palaces, temples are along the river. So the painters often paint the scenic beauty of the river, pilgrims, saints, performing puja, taking baths. So a lot of things. And photographers as well. It's a city has a very famous for Indian classical music also. So it attracts a lot of musicians. Dancer is a good for dance, Indian classical dance, Indian classical vocal, and Indian classical instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So musicians also attract. So that's diversity of the city. It shows in the diversity of the selection of books.
Yeah, and how you build the atmosphere, right? With also with the incense and the music. Can you give me some specific names? For example, what music was playing in your bookshop yesterday, let's say, and what fragrance were the incense yesterday, so that we can maybe recreate that at home?
Early morning, I play morning rag, which is you're supposed to play in the morning. So often you start with sarod. It's a string instrument. And then, I mean, whole day is playing. So it's a starting instrument, then flute, then sitar, again, a string instrument. Then I love vocal, Indian classical vocal. So it start with the lady Kishori Amonkar,
okay.
Morning rag. And then I like female voices because they have just beautiful voices. So, and then my other favorite is Rashid Khan. And then Bismillah Khan from Banaras. He plays Shehnai, is a trumpet. Not trumpet, but hard to explain. Is he plays Shehnai and he never left Banaras. And he used to perform his, like he usually go to practice his instrument in a temple. So that's the beauty. He passed away many years back, but he won the most respected musician in India.
Mm.
Then very famous sitar player from Banaras, Ravi Shankar. He plays with George Harrison also, with Beatles. He's also from Banaras. So I played his instrument as well. So I usually play who's from Banaras and then I go as person who's not from Banaras.
did they ever come to your bookshop and enter and hear their own music in the bookshop? That must be an amazing experience for them.
I think Bismillah Khan Sahab, no, I think no one has come. Except one of the musicians called Rajan Sajan Mishra, his two brother, his vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
They entered the bookstore and they were hearing their own voice. They were so happy. I was happy to see them also. It was very rare that you're playing some music and suddenly musicians entering in.
Yeah.
But they live in, not in Banaras, but they keep visiting city. They're from Banaras. It was beautiful. It's a nice experience. So two brother, but Rajan Mishra passed away during the COVID. The other brothers still performance, but it won't be same when two brothers performing music for a long period of time. And suddenly one passed away and one left. So it won't be same.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but we have to live with that. Lives on.
Yeah.
I love that you ask people to take their shoes off when they enter. And I just want to ask you a little bit about that. I find it, you know, it's almost like, you make people aware that they're entering kind of a sacred space where they might find, I don't know, they might find something surprising, something spiritual. How do, especially foreign tourists, how do they react to that? Are they surprised by this request? Do they change their attitude once you ask them to do that? I'm just putting myself in that position. I think if I came to your bookshop not knowing this rule and you told me, wait, first you need to take your shoes off before entering, I'd be like, oh, wow, this is a very special place. I better be very careful how I walk around. What do you notice when you ask people to do that?
It's a mixed feeling. Foreign tourists, I think they already has the orientation that you have to remove your shoes when you're entering the temples, houses.
Yeah.
So if ads, one ad in a shop, think it's normal. 99%, they don't mind. Only 1%, if their shoes are very like a tracking heavy duty shoes with a lot of string attached and they wants to come in just for the experiencing, but that wants to remove the shoes for the experience.
Yeah.
So like a less than only one less than 1%, one person I will call. They don't like the idea. It's not only foreign tourists. It's happened with the local means Indian tourists as well.
I mean, it's so definitely a way both. To filter customers, no? That's a,
pardon?
It's definitely a way to filter customers, the ones that are really committed to
I think that's true also, because we're very committed and very, not very serious, but at least appreciating the space and the book. It's yeah. And then if they're removing the shoes, means you're somehow much passionate about books or space. Gesture of removing shoes means you're entering the clean place and you can sit on the floor and then maybe lie down on the floor and read the books.
Mm.
It's more give the homely feeling.
Mm-hmm.
When someone removes the shoes and socks are not clean enough, then it's very
nonetheless, that's why you have all the fragrances in the
then I have to put extra fragrance. Only one time has happened and I had to remove the shop. I have to leave the shop, not remove the shop, leave the shop. Yeah, it was very difficult to inhale.
So it's a risky experience for you as well.
I think maybe in a year, maybe it's happened 1-2, maybe maximum 5 times in a year. So that's fine.
That's okay.
That's okay. But it's, I think why the person who's wearing it, they can't realize this well. Maybe they are.
They realize when you leave the shop, oh, something must have happened.
When they leave the shop, then I have add more incense.
So I would like to ask you about the history of Harmony. But before I do that, I just want to ask one more thing about something you mentioned. You mentioned you have a lot of books on the floor. So I imagine there's piles of books on the floor. And I wanted to ask you, is it just a matter of space or is it intentional because you noticed that people going to bookshops tend to be very curious about those books that are not quite in order? So a few booksellers told me throughout the years that I've been doing this podcast that customers, they tend to be very curious. So if there's a box of books that is not yet sorted or priced, that's where they'll go first, even though everything else is nice and neat on the shelves and very clearly displayed, they tend to go for like those potentially hidden treasures. So I wanted to ask you if it's the same for you with the books on the floor, or is it just because the bookshop is small and you have to use all the space you have?
I think I have more books than the shelf space.
Okay.
So having books on the floor, there's no other option because a lot more books than used to be shop was bigger when I had the less books and space was bigger. So it was big shop.
Mm.
When the books start, I keep collecting more and more and more. I think I usually buy more books than I sell, but somehow it's so far successful. So that was the reason to have the books on the floor, but that was organized. But as you said, some part of the bookstore is very chaotic. Means like suddenly new arrival comes and you just put on the floor, piled up. And it's true that customers really like to see that pile which is not organized. And I've noticed that unorganized pile, which new arrivals, sells faster than organized. I mean, comparatively. So it's always interesting. And my customers who comes every day, or not every day, but very often, if they see any box was unpacked, they want to see that one first. They say, what is inside? I say, no, that's only fiction. And suddenly, what I like to see. I say, but, and then I have to open it. And they say, okay, it's fine. No, pack it. Let's put it back. So it's a human curiosity. I think it's mine as well. If something, if I go to the publishers in World Book Fair, wherever, I like to go to watch where most corner shelf things are not organized. So I like to see that one first.
Yeah.
By myself. So I can understand their curiosity.
It's something about the magic of a box. I see, like, my daughter is 1 year old and her favorite toys are boxes. If you give her a box, if she can open it and like dig through there and see what she might find. That and books, actually. So they go well together. So I wanted to ask you about how you opened the bookstore back in 1996. If you can tell us a little bit about the story of the bookshop. I know it changed locations as well. And how did you become a bookseller? I think if I remember correctly, your father is also a bookseller. And I think you're the first bookseller I have on the podcast that comes from a generation of booksellers. So maybe you can tell me a bit about that.
My father has a bookstore open in 1965. He came from a village, it's called Basti. It's maybe one day journey by train. So they came over here just to run away from the house when the responsibility come end up in Banaras, and got a refuge in Communist Party of India's office. Through the Communist Party office, long back, they used to get a lot of books from Russia. Lenin, Marx, and a lot of books. And they introduced books to Communist Party. And so they used to go to different universities and selling to the students. Somehow they initiated by the Communist Party of India to my father. And then they opened the bookstore after seeing the very successful. Lenin is doing very good success in Banaras. Lenin and Marx as well. A lot of others. Turgenev, and then Dostoevsky. Beautiful, nice bound, beautiful illustrated books. Very cheap. So that was the experience my father, and he opened the bookstore near Lanka, near university. Mm-hmm. But he keeps mostly Hindi novels, English, some textbook. It's and the popular books, self-help. So he keeps that. So I was initiated since my childhood seeing books around. And one thing I knew that I'm not a disciplined person, so I can't get a job anywhere. That was guaranteed. And I think at least I know what I'm supposed to do. So that was already clear that I can't get a job. And books already, I mean, seeing from the childhood that was somehow having more appreciation, mm-hmm. but not knowing that I will end up selling books and more passionately. So that's happened in 1996. We thought to have some changes and to open the bookstore along the river, which attracts a lot of people from different part of the world and very diverse. And idea was very successful. So when it's opened in 96, first day, it was successful. I was not expecting that's going to be so successful. That first book which I sold of Mahatma Gandhi, my experiment with truth, and that couple was going to take up, the American couple, they were living in Varanasi for a long time. So they were going to take a bath in river, and I was playing song, classical music, and he just turned his face left just to hear where's the music coming from. And then he came in a bookstore, he saw it. I had only maybe 200, 300 books in my collection. And he bought one book, Gandhi, and it makes me happy because there's a good start from nonviolence.
Yeah, that's a good first book to sell. So yeah. You started your bookshop with only about 200-300 books, right? It was It was small to start with. Now you have, is it 20,000, something like that?
Yeah.
So take us a little bit through this journey. How do you go from 200?
So when I opened a bookstore, there was no electricity also. There's no computer. There was nothing. So it was a very nice candlelight bookstore, and there's no electricity.
And did you have all your books like written down by hand on a piece of paper, or you didn't even have that?
No, I think that's put that I knew the books, but I was not knowing a lot of different genre. Mm-hmm. It was a learning lesson for me also that I know history, politics, I mean, humanities, certain things which I've learned in a class, in a school. So I think that was the only subject, but so many subjects in the books. So when there's no electricity, then customer, it was very nice. It's very dark, only candle light you're sitting.
Romantic.
Customer comes, you have to give one candle to him and go around and say, be careful, don't burn the books. And outside was, you can see river from the bookstore. And there you can see the buffaloes and cows also grazing on the some part of the river. So it was very nice. I think buffalo, cow, and goat were more than the when the customers roam around. When the customers, it was very crazy, nice, beautiful memories that now I have. Now it's taken over by the motorcycles and the parking space. So the buffalo and cows are disappeared.
And you have electricity now and a computer.
I have the electricity and computer. That can be no computer. So you have to write a letter to the publisher to get the catalog. Then when the catalog comes, then you have to select, send the letter again. Then you don't know, I mean, what will happen. Suddenly letter comes that books has been dispatched. Are the books in the can't dispatch? We make the pro forma. You have to send a check. Then again, you have to check the send to the publisher. Then the books will come by transport postage. So it was a long process, but no one was in hurry because that's the only way. So it was fine.
Yeah. So how long would it take? Would it take like a few months to get the books ordered or?
I think at least 2 weeks, 3 weeks, okay. 3 weeks or sometime month also. But that is why the book fair comes, international book fair. One book fair happens every year in Delhi. So we go to book fair and then we select a lot of books because you can't get catalog of everything, foreign books. So that's the time we used to go to Delhi for 1 week and then buy lots of books and bring back to the Banaras. So that was, nowadays, I think it's an everyday book fair.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's changed a lot over the years. How do you do it now? What's the system like in India? Because, for example, on the last episode, I had a bookseller that you actually know from Berlin, Gesine.
Yeah.
And she was telling me just how incredibly organized the system is in Germany and I think in Europe, where she makes her orders and the company that deals with delivering the books actually has keys to her bookshop and they deliver them overnight. So she arrives in the morning and it's like Christmas every morning because there's books in her shop that have come overnight. I just thought that's amazing. What a system. I don't know if it's like that everywhere in the world. I think she's one of the few booksellers that has said that's kind of organized. Sounds very much like Germany. But I wonder how it is in India. How do you do it? I imagine you order things online now or how? What's the process?
There's many distributors and many publishers. So you have to know whether you want to buy distributors and directly from publishers. Sometimes publisher doesn't work directly to the booksellers. They wants to go through the distributors.
Mm-hmm.
So I do get books, send the order to the distributor. A publisher depends on, and then it still takes 2 weeks to get books. And majority books come from Delhi. So at least still take 2 weeks. It's a long, it's a long process. It's not very efficient.
The technology has not made it quicker.
But you can send an email. At least, you know, you have to send an email and then, you know, they have acknowledged it. Processing, sending, because Banaras is a bit far from Delhi. So it come by truck. Mm-hmm. So trucks takes 5 days to deliver. And by truck to my shop, it's like usually trucks are 7-8 kilometers outside of the city. So from there to it has to come to the bookstore, it takes again 2 days, three days.
Okay.
So like 2 weeks, if everybody, the whole system in efficient mode then. And if one person is not efficient, then it will delay. So yeah, it is on speed.
Yeah.
It's not as then. Efficient as Berlin.
No, not yet. Well, I find it interesting to see that even though we have more technology now, it still takes 2 weeks. Maybe technology doesn't always solve all our problems, like I tend to believe. So you mentioned in the beginning of our conversation all the different types of books you have, all the different genres you have. And that's something that I was thinking about the other day. So I would love to open a bookshop one day.
Oh,
and I really hope it'll happen. Let's see. I'm raising my daughter, telling her that she's a future bookseller. Get used to it. But I don't read every single genre. I don't know a lot of people that do, right? So I read fiction, I read some nonfiction, and that's, I think, what I kind of feel like I know about. Even there, I feel like I don't know enough. And I just wonder, how did you do it? You started with a few things that you felt more comfortable with, where that were your passions when it comes to reading. And then did you learn about the other genres as you went along? Did you adapt to the people that were coming into the store looking for certain books? Did you become an expert in everything from photography to, you know, Indian spirituality to fiction to everything? Or how do you do that? How does one bookseller know all the books, basically, is what I'm asking.
You often people ask me how to be a bookseller. I say, if you like books, it's very simple. And that's no, it's a first step. Love books, then you're the perfect bookseller. It's a learning process, not happening in one day. Knowing about philosophy and the different branch of Indian philosophy, I had no clue.
Okay.
I just thought Indian philosophy means Indian philosophy. And then when customers or the academician comes and then asks me, I know Indian philosophy, but I need this particular school of philosophy. It takes me many years to figure out a lot of things. In photography, I used to appreciate only colored photographs, usually buy for souvenir. Then first time I saw one Brazilian photographer, Sebastio Salgado, photographing book on workers. And then I realized, my God, black and white has so much beauty. And after that, I had big collection of black and photographic book. And somehow Sebastio Salgado books on workers has initiated me indirectly to appreciate black and white photography and really love it. I think it depends on printing quality as well. I mean, I have seen many book on photography, but it looks like a black and white only two color. When I saw the beautiful apertures edition of workers, I saw so many shades of black and white.
Mm.
So that's happened, the photography section. So it's became my more passion for that. Then it comes to philosophy, literature, of course, from childhood. Western philosophy, having the philosophy as a genre in a bookstore, it's very hard to ignore the other school of philosophy, which is not from India. Even though it doesn't sell, it should be there in order to have a more comprehensive, holistic approach for the selection.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't say that's only one philosophy exists in the world and less doesn't exist. Certain thing, it's not selling, but you have to have it. It's not like a market value, self space, self timing. It won't work in that sense. But business is important, then you have to have self space, self timing basically. And then books, which is not selling for a few years, then you have to send it back, which I don't like. If certain books, if I order, I mean, I personally order, if not selling in 1 year or 6 months, it doesn't mean that's a bad thing.
Exactly. It hasn't found its reader yet. It's still waiting.
So it has to be there. And sometimes I know it not selling, it's not going to sell easily, but it's a so beautiful book. So like I have got one book on Ottoman Empire, Ottoman architecture. It's not, I know it won't sell in Banaras so easily.
There's not so much interest in Banaras.
No, it will sell, I'm sure. It's 100% sure, but it's not has found the right person.
Yeah.
So it goes for everything, for like a law I keep. But law, I just only give philosophy of law, not like a law as a...
Not law books.
Like, no law books, but philosophy of law, philosophy of science, philosophy of history. So then theater and the classical music is my own interest. So of course, it has to be bigger section.
Mm-hmm.
And religion, Banaras has Hindu religion and Buddhist religion. Buddhist pilgrims come from around the world because that's a Sarnath is a place where the Buddha gave the first sermon after getting enlightenment. So it's attracts from around the world, the Buddhist scholars and Buddhist pilgrims come. And then Islam has to be there because that bigger section in India has Islam and Sufis.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep adding slowly. Then economics, of course, you can't ignore economics. I mean, I can't ignore. Then you can see around also, and then customers what they ask, and then what I want to reflect as is my shop.
Mm-hmm.
That's also very important. So it's my interest should be there.
Yeah, of course you get to decide what books to have in your shop. I want to ask you more about the city. But before we do that, I read in an interview you gave before, and I found this a very interesting detail about your shop and also something that must be very challenging for you. And perhaps you can talk a little bit about how it works when the river decides to visit your shop and you have to quickly save all the books from the water. As that, along with other things you've said, are so unique to your bookshop, something I haven't heard any other booksellers deal with. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
I think that's being along the river as close to the water body is beautiful. But yeah, of course, that's other side of beauty is when during the monsoon, when waters slowly start coming to visit my bookstore. First time it's when it's happened, it was only 300 books and I was so stressed because I was much closer to the river, only 20 meters, much, much closer. And there was no steps. It was not very high ground. Then friends come and then save 300 books on a backpack, rucksack. And then we move to other building. And I was tired. I thought, oh my gosh, that's not good place to be. But as soon as water goes down and then we start and we completely forget that, that floods come. Because that's a beautiful spot also. I mean, that's the best spot. So when water come up to the bookstore, just maybe 40, 50 meter away, I know just keep rising. So I move all the books on the floor and one shelf and put on the higher shelf.
What?
In 2013, water came inside the bookstore and submerged one shelf, but no books. Oh, wow. Books never get damaged ever. In 26 years or 28 years, I think, books never get damaged by the water.
That's pretty amazing, an accomplishment, yeah. Considering that water actually comes into.
And it's a huge water. It's inside the store. And since I don't know how to, also I have to be very careful. After that flood, I thought is damaging the wall and shelves. So I started making wall, proper wall on near the entrance. So the water can't come in. So the inside shelves and the wall are dry. We make every year a wall, concrete wall, then we break it.
Oh, really? It's not a wall that is always there. You make it and then you...
Because if you don't going to break, then you can't even enter the first step of the bookstore.
That's amazing.
And then water is so high, it's very close to the window of the bookstore. Let's say window.
Uh-huh.
So I climb through the window. So I come by boat, jump on the window, open the window through a screwdriver.
What?
Screw. Because, and then come in to see that everything's fine or not. If, I mean, it's have to take care. And it's very humid also. So you have to open the window in order to have a ventilation. Yeah. It's very high humidity.
And to put dehumidifiers, I imagine. And
yeah, I have a dehumidifier. Yeah. Put on the air conditioner also. But still, humidity is strong, much stronger. And then keep measuring the water every day. Sometimes it's 2 weeks. The water goes down, then you have to clean the outside. There was a lot of mud left. It's sometimes bookstore closed for months, sometimes 2 months during the monsoon. I think month easily.
Mm.
And I always wished that if I put all the penguin books on lower shelf, then it might convert in the penguins. So it will be books will be safe. But that's a dream. That's a dream. It's not going to happen.
Something to ask people from Penguin, from the publisher, if they can make that happen for you. And so when do you build the wall? Just before monsoon season starts? Or how do you time the building?
I think when waters comes only 20 meters close away from my shop, 20, 30 meters. So even though water comes or not, I have to go through the whole protocol. Means removing the floor, removing the, remove all the books on the floor. Computer, printer, and all my stationaries. Then lower shelf, I have to put on a bit higher. So at least by mistake, my wall doesn't sustain nicely. Maybe it's not wrong engineering because since I'm not an engineer and somebody else who comes and... So if by mistake, if any hole, anything, it's still not going to damage books. So one shelf, so that's why I have to go every day to check whether the wall is there.
Yeah.
Water is coming through the wall or not, because since we are not the engineer of the making dam.
Just to be sure. Yeah.
Yeah, just to be sure. Wow. And then morning, evening, I have to go through the window, check the water level, and just sit on the window and then watch outside, serene, quiet water. kids are jumping in the water, bathing, they're enjoying.
Love your attitude around this. Like, well, this is what we have. We make the best of it. We build a wall. We take it down. I think that's just great. You're fully embracing how
That's the reality.
How things
because
are happening, and that's it.
I'm inventing the river. River not inventing me because I'm so close to the river. So I can't blame the river.
How many books are in your shop?
20,000 approx.
And what was the last book you sold in your shop?
Last sold means yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, interesting. I think I've sold wildlife books on tiger.
Okay.
Oh, I have wildlife section as well. Sorry, forgot about telling
you. What would you do if you couldn't sell books anymore?
Coffee shop. I think must be selling coffee. Open the cafe as a cultural space where different thoughts comes and get more excited over the caffeine.
And what book are you reading at the moment?
I think it's still the same, the Hindi one. Vinod Kumar Shukla. Diwar mein khidki rehti thi. English translation, the window used to be on the wall. The English is not yet, not good translation, only the Hindi one.
And final question, what is your second favorite bookshop?
City Life Bookstore in San Francisco.
Good choice. Could you tell us more about, I don't know why I say us, it's just me, but I'm imagining a lot of listeners that are waiting for this question to be answered. But can you tell me more about the city, about Varanasi? I think I have never been there. And for many of us that have not been there, but have maybe read about it or saw videos of it, it feels like this very different place than any other place where, yeah, you can say it better, I'm sure. And I feel from what you've said so far about the bookshop that in a way your bookshop reflects the complexity of this place, the variety of people that come there, that live there, but also that come there as tourists. So yeah, maybe you can talk a little bit about Varanasi in general.
Yep. So this is the most holiest place for the Hindu, one of the most ancient living city in the world. And there's a myth that the Shiva, the Lord Shiva, is just his city, and he's living the city since the dawn of the creation. And we compare the city, it's like for Hindus, Banaras, same as Jerusalem for Jews and Makkah for Muslim. So it attracts pilgrims, comes for the worshipping. And since this is situated along with the river also called Ganga, that's come from the, according to myth, it's come from the heaven. So it's a mythical, not mythical, real river, but it comes from the heaven to the earth. Bathing in the river, it clean all your sin. That's also myth. So a lot of pilgrims comes to take a bath. And sometime it's happened during the eclipse. Thousands of people along the river from the whole stretch. You can see people are taking bath in a public space. It's a beautiful scene. And devotion, doing worshipping and donating food, the money to the poor who are also comes during this festival time. So it attracts a lot of religious reason the city has. Second one, it is a well-known place for Hindi literature also in India. This most famous Hindi author called Premchand, born in Banaras, and many other Hindi literatures were in Banaras. Third is a well-known place in India for Indian classical music. Fourth, it is a holy city as well as the holy death as well. So if you're dying, if someone dying in the city, it means they will get elevation. So the pilgrims come to stay in the city sometime to wait for their death. So if it's a very religious person, they ask their kids to take me to the city. I would like to take my last breath in the city to get liberation. Yeah, then the cycle of the birth and death. And there's a 2 cremation ground along the river. So there's constantly fire burning there. People who died in Banaras. And some people, they bring their beloved bodies to cremate in Banaras since it's a very holy place and put their ash in the river. Some person who, like a family, if they die somewhere else, they bring their ash to the Banaras to put in the rivers. A few weeks back, one of my friend's friend. They bring their father death from Chicago to Banaras. That's because he's born in Banaras and it's a family emotional thing. And tomorrow my other friends are coming to bring their friends, Ash, and their father, Ash, both, to put in the Ganga.
So they put them in the river, no? They don't scatter them.
Yeah.
More.
Mm-hmm. Like a symbolic.
Yeah. What an incredible place.
Yeah, it's a very complex, multi-layered, different religious community lives together. So it's a Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Sikh community. Yeah, all of them are here and all the religious centers are here. So it attracts only not for Hindu, for Sikh community, for Jain community. So it's always so many persons keep coming, going through. And so it's attractive for the student for architecture also, since the oldest living city. So architects for music also. There's a lot of concerts happen in Banaras, free for open. I mean, there's no charges. So the musicians also coming, architects, philosophers, seekers. Sometimes that comes to be in this ancient city just because it's like a time machine.
Right.
It will take you at least back in certain time and space.
Mm. This is where you've lived all your life, is that right? Or
you've been since I born till now. I mean, I think I will die also in the city. But other problem I have to face because I want to be born again as a bookseller. So I have to figure out how.
So if you die in the city, then that wouldn't happen.
Then I can't
right?
be a bookseller. Yeah, then I get liberation and I can't be a bookseller again. And so I have to figure out how to deal with that.
This is tricky. Maybe you can be a bookseller in heaven, you know. And that would be quite a nice job. Thank you so much for explaining that. And I really hope I have a chance to come one day and visit the city and your bookshop. Can I ask you more about the books that you read? I think that's always something that I'm curious to know. What do booksellers read? How do they pick their books? Where do they get their recommendations? Can you tell me how you pick what's the next book you're going to read? What do you do to figure out what book you want to read next?
I mean, it's just so many books. If any book which is not going to hold me for maybe 10 pages, I just don't want to continue. And that's the wrong way. but selection and recommendation is by the sometimes readers also.
Mm-hmm.
Publisher, often they recommend very popular books, which I know is... So often review or the reader who I trust, their recommendation, I like to read. So I love magical realism books like Gabriel Garcia Marquez, surreal writing, Salman Rushdie, Latin American's author. That genre is very close to my heart. But I like Rohitan Mistry. He has written a book. I like his writing. His most famous was Fine Balance.
Mm-hmm.
Then Amitabh Ghosh, he's an anthropologist. And he's a wonderful writer. So his discipline of trained anthropology, even though story, but you learn a lot about history, society, politics in the story. Now he's writing a lot of books on ecology and environment. Wonderful ones. I mean, everything is wonderful. it's like The Glass Palace is really nicely done. When England occupy Burma, they send the king in exile in India. So all the facts. But it's more than that. While reading the book, I came to learn a little more about history as well. And Arundhati Roy, she's wonderful. I think I really like her. As a person, she's a very good, nice person, good activist, good writer, and raising the voice of the people who means marginalized community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this beauty, which should reflect in her writing.
What should we read by her, apart from The God of Small Things, which I know is very popular. Many people have read it.
The God of Small Things is the most beautiful book,
mm-hmm.
except as Ministry of Utmost Happiness.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but I like all God of Small Things and everything political writings, because she has written a lot of essays. So if you have read God of Small Things, you can try all her nonfictions. It's like Noam Chomsky in America.
Uh-huh. That's great. Yeah, I haven't read anything other than that of Small Things from her. So that could be a nice nice next step. So I think in your bookshop, you don't sell a lot of bestsellers or contemporary fiction. Is that something that you sell? Or
I know which kind of literary fiction I like to sell when has more very popular in sense that content and the beauty of writing, because after the review you can figure out, and then publishers, which I try to less because it doesn't fit with the collection which I have. So I like mostly the literary fiction, classics, and the contemporary as well, but I'm not popular where it's very easy to read and forget, that maybe only for 1 month it sells because of the pressure from the publishers, not publisher pressure, it's like a media ad, everybody wants to read. That way somehow I have, sometimes I make a wrong selection as well, but that's a learning process.
And are there any writers or books that you think, well, maybe this is a rude question towards those writers, but some books that you think are really overhyped, that there's too much fuss about them and maybe they're being pushed too much by publishers, but that you would never have in your shop? You don't have to answer this question if you don't want.
It's a question. That's a book which overhyped. I think often publishers, they publish every genre and everything, and they often make this is the book. In every book is the book. It takes time to figure out the hype and reality. Usually new books, it takes, for me, I usually takes time to order. I just don't order immediately because just for the new. So I think every book they make a hype, and sometimes the good recommendation, but often it's inflated. Just the review is just so beautiful, and then you read the book and say, oh my gosh, I don't want to take a name of it.
The review is better than the book sometimes.
sometimes reviews are better than books. Sometimes books sounds like a, but very rare then find a good review. Often it's appreciation, it's like selling an idea that you should read the book. And that's beautiful when you read the book and say, oh, it's so flat. It's a soul I'm missing. Character is not enlightened enough. Not enlightened in the Buddha way, but not good enough. Seems like a soul myth. So it's a lot of thing. I know for a few books, but yeah, nice to leave the name.
Fair enough. I won't ask you to give me any names of books you think are overhyped.
Yeah, if you come to the bookstore, then I will tell you.
Okay. Fine. I'll have to do that then. I'll have to make a trip to India to find out. I'm sure you'll give me some names of books that you like, though. Some books that most transformed maybe how you think. In a previous episode, we asked a bookseller if there were any books in his life that he thinks had like a butterfly effect, that he read that and then maybe not right away, but years later, something changed in his life or his way of thinking that had something to do with that book that he read at some point. And I wonder if you have books like that you think have really made an impact on your thinking or maybe on your life in general.
It's hard to say. I mean, I know it's because changes and the process, learning, thinking, rationalizing, it's book, it has an effect, but a lot of other factors influencing that and makes contribution in the as a complete. So books, my friend was saying Marcus is the only author which I like, and then when I was sick, then this is the book I was reading. I said, oh my gosh, this is I was trying. So I thought, after hearing so many times, I thought, okay, let's try. And really, it's changed the way seeing as an object in a very flat way. Its perception changed. It became something beyond that, something more subtle also. It's bringing not the object, it's bringing a lot of other part to make it, that object became so alive. That's part I learned from the magical realism writing. There's a lot of quotations, so beautiful, and makes it seems like it's not very straightforward word. It's more than that. It's more philosophical as well. There's a one quotation which I really like. It in his autobiography was mentioned that living on the mercy of nostalgic longing, and this type of sentence is so impact. Like, that's more than that. I think I was just using the one quotation because there's a lot of history behind the quotation and before as well. So that part is change way of seeing, I will say, for me, way of thinking. So that's language in writing is very important for me, not just story alone.
Yeah, but how the story is told, maybe.
Yeah, that's a medium, the way language all together. So I will call magical realism writing, and it has a lot of philosophical element as well. So it's changed my view of seeing. Maybe that's why I used to like, so other thing, appreciating black and white photography also helped through the books. So it's a lot of books has impacts consciously, subconsciously, and then later you know, come to know, oh, that's why I'm thinking like that, or that's why I'm seeing like this. So it's a lot of books. One is very hard. Of course, literature, I can say Marquez, photography, I can say Salgado, John Berger books on ways of seeing. Indian philosophy, I will call, not philosophy as such, but J. Krishnamurti. Buddhism, what the Buddha taught by Balpal Rahula, it's a Sri Lankan monk. Then P. Sainath about development and economics. But the way he writes P. Sainath about development and economics, it seems like a, some fiction writer writing a novel.
Well, that's very intriguing because not a lot of people are like, please tell me a book about economics. I'm going to go read it right now. But if it's a book that reads like fiction, then...
He's a journalist, but he writes about development and economics, about the... which goes around the farmers. And he say, I just let them to talk to me. I mean, I just put the question and they have so much thing to share. I just collecting and he's not adding any... I mean, he has a little bit data, but more because economics is only about data and percentage, but he goes more about the inside story of the persons.
Yeah.
So the book called Everybody Loves a Good Drought. So a lot of books, and this one is not enough. I think more will come in future as well in my life. I change more. So I think how much I change, how much books change. So like both are keep changing. If I read books now, other books I like a lot. Siddharth by Hermann Hesse. So books are keep changing and depends on how much I change. So both are keep changing. I can read same books after a while and then be completely different ideas, perception, beauty. So my changes and the books changes both are simultaneously like a lifelong journey.
Yeah. You mentioned some books, but you mainly mentioned authors. So I'm just curious to ask you, when you discover an author that you love, do you tend to read all his or her books? Is this?
Yeah, I try.
Yeah.
I try to read. I try to read all the books and then try to keep all the books. And then which book I read, I like to recommend also as much as possible. So everybody can enjoy the one which I enjoy. And it's nice. One photography books I really like a lot in Banaras in black and white called End Time City, published in Zurich. And I love so much. It shows the intensity of the city, not cliches, intensity. It can see in a book. It's just so beautiful and intense also. And I keep recommending Berger books, literary criticism books. So lot of genre, lot of books which I like. I like modern art books also. I like designs books as well.
It's hard to pick just a few.
Yeah, it's hard to pick. It's so much. And that's why changes has come from all different genre, not one.
If you were to recommend to the readers listening to this podcast a few books to read to better understand India and to better understand India and its complexity and not from a Western point of view, because, you know, if I think about what I know or what my friends in Europe would know about India, I am pretty sure it's a very filtered view depending on our sources of information, right? So I'm wondering, if we wanted to get a better understanding of the country from your perspective, what books should we read? Maybe if we think about its history, if we think about its spirituality, maybe you can pick a book for each of those.
This Ideas of India is a very good commentary on India's social political scene. That's Ideas of India by P. Sainath. And then one, the other one called India After Gandhi by Ramchandra Guha. Excellent book. But it's a very thick book also, but it's excellent. You will learn a lot through the book. It's one of the most famous, important book. And it's a new edition just came to add a present government as well. So it's completely updated. India After Gandhi by Ramchandra Guha. Then other one is Wonder That Was India by A.L. Basham. It's a very old book. And then book by Romila Thapar, everything by her, Ancient India, on Romila Thapar. Her writing is a bit left inclined. Nowadays in India is left alone, but she's a wonderful writer. And then other book is History of India by R.C. Majumdar. V.S. Naipaul has a book on India. It's called three books. It's one called Area of Darkness. And second one called India Wounded Civilization. Third one called India and Million Mutinies by V.S. Naipaul. That's a little bit critical criticism and social commentary. That's criticism should be also, I mean, his parents from India, but he born abroad. And he keep hearing about India's idealistic part of India. When he came first time, he was so disappointed. So he has written three part. One, so, and all of them critical, but last one became much more mature criticism. The India Million Mutinies. I think there's so many books. It's very hard to say but that's give us good understanding of India.
Oh, that's great. We can pick some of these. Would we find all these books in your bookshop if we were to come to Harmony? Would you have all of
yes.
Them? Yes.
Yes.
That's the way to do it. We just need to take this trip and then you can show us each and every one of these books. So I'd like to end our conversation with another book recommendation. You mentioned a little while ago the first book that you ever sold in your shop to this American couple and how it was like a good omen to sell that book on nonviolence to start your book selling.
Yeah, so good. So nice.
So now at this point in history, you know, many years since you've opened your shop in 1996, where we still see so much violence in the world and so many things happening that should not be happening. Is there one book that if you had this power as a bookseller to say, this is the book that everyone in the world has to read and will read, what would that book be that you think would just make the world a better place? I don't know if everybody read it.
I think only world can be a better place only through the nonviolence, because violence is not going to take. It's too sad to see. So only I think Gandhi's autobiography by Experiment with Truth, and then his biography by Louis Fisher, Mahatma Gandhi. I mean, autobiography and the biography give some critical perspective of each other. I mean, ultimately, books on Gandhi. That makes world better place where violence are taking over. So I think nonviolence is the only reply. It's a hard, tough path, but that's the only path. I think everybody should read Gandhi.
Okay. Thank you so much, Akash. I love this conversation. And thank you so much for all the book recommendations and for kind of taking us to India for 1 hour and just for sharing your story with me. So. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to That Books today. If this podcast brings you some joy, makes you feel closer to the world of books and bookshops, please share it with just one friend that you know will appreciate it. We'll be back soon with more bookseller conversations. Until then, sit back, relax, and enjoy a good book.